Bestie was fat with money and muscle. Beef was his business. Broad was his.
Oh man, the Vesties were the mob from England. Lord Vestie was his name. He used to pay a peppercorn or something for hundreds of thousands, millions of bloody acres of land. They got it for nothing off the government, really. And they employed us mob, or the Gurindji mob, as they did on every station, a blanket, flour, sugar, tea. And you get the blanket on the Queen's birthday to honour, you know, Granny Lizzie. And Vesties, you know, they were one of the biggest meat exporters all over the world. I mean, they had so much land in Flamin South America, and they had the contract to supply the Flamin troops with tinned meat in the Second World War, all the Allied troops, mate. They made bloody millions. But anyway, that's all they're playing, the Black Flies, is blanket, flour, sugar, tea. And it's on Aboriginal land. It's been there for 60,000 bloody years. Anyway, we heard this night. Mum said, you know, we heard that they walked off Vesty's bloody station. We thought, wow. At that time, I was 22 year old. And I wasn't, I was part of the flora and fauna under the Act. I wasn't a citizen. You get what I mean? And we thought, wow.
Because Aboriginals weren't counted as part of the census. They weren't seen as being Australians.
No, and legally, under the Constitution, we were part of the flora and fauna and could be treated as such.
So this strike was different from all the others. And not just that it was effective, but it started off as a strike against poor working conditions and terrible pay and rationing and so on, but it became something else, didn't it? It turned into a claim for land.
Oh yeah, and that was the great thing about it, is that the workers of Australia and the middle class started to donate money, because the first truck of rations came through from Darwin down to the Gurindji from the wharfies and the maritime union mob. Plus, ordinary Australians, middle class people, started to say, you know, we're going to donate to this. And, you know, the big thing was that it brought all these people together for the first time. And, you know, it was a long struggle. It went on and on and on. But the actual culmination of it was that magnificent, like, historic photo of the Prime Minister of Australia, who was himself a lawyer, pouring the earth back into this old man's hand.
Who was that? What was his name?
Old Vincent Lingiardi, and the Prime Minister was Gough Whitlam.
Can you just tell me something of how the song itself came to be written?
Well, yeah, again, it was very how would you say, an easy song to write, Chris, because the story was already there. And what happened was, Paul, I'd known Paul for a while. We'd been doing gigs together with Midnight Oil and people like that for land rights, and building bridges was a big sort of musical thing in Sydney at the time. Anyway, Paul, one Christmas about 1990-91, said he wanted to come up with his son Declan and wanted to meet our mob, so we took him out on a big waterhole, put the tents up, and got the fire going and had the cooking going, and of course pulled out the guitars, and didn't take very long at all.
You must have been aware right from the penning the first line that, you know, this symbolism of a black fella and a white fella writing this story together and performing it together, you must have known from the start that it was powerful.
Oh yes, for sure. I mean, that's why it came out so basically so quick. And you know, the thing is, he's an Italian Irish descendant who has a grasp on Australian history, sitting there with an Irish Aboriginal fella who was reared in the bush, both going exactly the same bloody way. Hey, come on, you mob, gather around, people. Hey, come on, I'll tell you this story. It's an 8-year-long story of power and pride. It's about British Lord Vestie and Vincent Lingiardi. They opposite men on opposite sides. From little things, big things grow.
From little things, big things.